Good day, and welcome to you. Here at this podcast, we discuss death, cemeteries, and everything in between. I share my experiences working in a cemetery for over 10 years, as well as my love for cemeteries and headstones. We also sprinkle in topics in pop culture related to movies, Freemasonry, the Illuminati, video games, spirits, and news. Get fitted, lay back, and enjoy your coffin. Welcome to Cemetery Tales Podcast.
Well, this is September 10th, 2021, and we are moving on to our fifth episode of the season. Now, we had a couple bonus episodes that we had to do, but overall, this is our fifth episode of the season. Man, we're doing fantastic. Really bringing quality content. On this episode, we are going to talk about Ouija boards, the Warren's Occult Museum that's out there in Connecticut, and of course, we have to do a cemetery feature item, right? It only makes sense. So today, we're going to talk about the owl. May you see it on a lot of headstones, you may see it at statues, but of course we're going to talk about it. Not the OVO and any of that stuff. Drake did just come out with the album, but again, we're not about to get into that. This is Cemetery Tales Podcast. So let's start this episode. What is a Ouija board? Let's talk about that thing. And you know, before I really get too deep into this, just know that those wooden boards, it's a little more powerful than those plastic Hasbro boards. You still get some effects, but I'm just saying, the older that board is, and if it's made out of wood, it does something a little bit different. It holds on to something a little bit different. But anyway, the Ouija board, or some people call it a spirit board, if you never heard that term before, it's a flat board. It's marked with letters of the alphabet, the numbers 0 through 9, and the words yes and the word no. Now, sometime you may get a hello and goodbye on there if you're doing the conjuring of spirits, you know, which we'll talk a lot, I guess, a little bit about that later. I'll give you a personal experience, maybe two. But along with various symbols and graphics, it uses a planche. That's like a little small hard-shell piece of wood, you know, plastic that you got so you can see, you know, and it move and you guide it. You know, you put your, it's a movable indicator. You spell out your messages during the seance. Now, we can talk about the seance a little bit, right? Maybe? Nah, not this episode. You know, but those things are serious. You know, you ever watch the movie Ghost or Whoopi Goldberg? You know, it's interesting how she's seen, Patrick Swayze. And that was a great movie. Anyway, participants place their fingers on the planche, and it is moved about the board to spell out words. You know, so if you got a question, go ahead and it can spell out the answer to that question. Now, currently, Ouija is a trademark of Hasbro, as I mentioned before, when it comes to those clear or glow-in-the-dark boards. But it's often used just to refer to any other type of spirit board. Now, a lot of spirits believe that the dead were about to contact the living, and reportedly used a talking board or a spirit board, very similar to the modern Ouija board, at their camps in the United States, especially in the state of Ohio in the late 1800s, to enable faster communication with spirits. So following this commercial introduction, a businessman, his name was Elijah Bond, on July 1st, 1890, the Ouija board was regarded as an innocent parlor game. Again, innocent. Unrelated to anything occult, until a spiritualist, Pearl Curran, popularized its use as a divining tool during the First World War. Now, paranormal and supernatural beliefs associated with Ouija have been criticized by the scientific community and are characterized as pseudoscience. But again, we know something a little bit different. The action on the board can be most easily explained by unconscious movements of those controlling the pointer. Now, a lot of times you get warnings from people about these Ouija boards. You know, playing or not. It's people that even play pranks on people, you know, with the Ouija board. But it's like everyone is warned against using it, right? I feel like everybody has, you know, holding that it can use some kind of demonic possession, some kind of, you know, opening doors, opening portals, bringing something in. Just got to be careful. If you understand, you know, some people, on the other hand, feel like it can be a tool for positive transformation. You know, so it just depends, I guess. You know, a lot of Christians and some experienced users just against it. You know, but hey, it's up to your interpretation. Again, I feel like the wooden boards are a little different. So hey, let me give you a personal story. So check this out. All right, so one time I was with my friend, her brother, her two brothers, and her boyfriend, and we are at our home, and she wants to know if it was haunted or not. So she found out after going through some records of the home that it was a guy that died in the home. His name was Wilbur. So we went ahead and did a seance to see if we can bring Wilbur into that room with us, right? So we all place our hands. So the first question is, did someone die in this house? Of course, they went to yes. I'm like, all right, cool, all right. So now everybody didn't know who Wilbur was. I know I didn't know until later, until she showed me this stuff. So plans placed on there, she said, what is your first name? So boom, it's like, okay, W-I-L, Wilbur. Wow, okay, all right, cool, we got Wilbur. I'm like, okay, so this might be somebody. This is interesting to me, right? We on this plastic Ouija board that you get at any of these local stores, Target, Walmart. It's not no sponsor, no plug. But I just want to say that real quick. So you get one of those places. So as we kept going, all of a sudden, it started getting really cold. Now, from my past experiences dealing with paranormal activities, not the movie, ghost situations and spirits and everything that I witnessed at the cemeteries that I worked at, as well, I was like, hey, we might be in for a situation. And sure as stuff, you know, PG, sure as stuff, we went ahead and had a situation. So we had a bottle of alcohol. This bottle was Armadale. It's a vodka. And that bottle happened to all of a sudden, the top popped off. And it's like, how does that happen? The bottle was ice cold. How does that happen? It's sitting on the table, literally, right next to us. How does that happen? Hey, so, of course, boom. One of the brothers ran out the house. He said, I ain't playing around with that stuff. That's what them people do. I get it. Again, PG, right? That's what them people do. So, he took off. We still in there, because we thinking, man, Wilbur ain't gonna mess with us like that. Next thing you know, boom, something coming down the steps. You can hear it walking. Loud. I was like, hey, look, I don't know about y'all, but there's some things I can and some things that I can't do. Now, if whatever this is that's making these heavy ass footsteps, I think I'm gonna go ahead and check on out of here. So I left too. Of course, when I left, everybody left because we all walked out the door. I'm sorry, we politely jogged out the door all together. So as I'm going to my car, you know, she's like, where everybody going? I'm like, what you mean? You outside too? You coming? You're not getting in weed, but you coming too, right? So she didn't even make it back to shut the door, because what happened? The door shut on its own. There's nobody else in the house. All of us walked out and we was the only ones in the house. Next thing, the door slammed. I was like, oh yeah, hey, you want my opinion? I think you should go ahead and move up out of there. You know, we can do some things to get whatever that is out there. I guess the name is Wilbur. But let's go ahead and do what we got to do to get whatever Wilbur is or whatever out of there. So she eventually moved from that home. And I don't even know if anybody lives in that home. I haven't been to Ohio in years now, right? 4 years now. So it's interesting to see. I may have to go back to that home if I can remember exactly where. I know it's right off the highway. Kind of remember on the east side of Toledo, Ohio. But hey, maybe next time I'll see if I can go back over there just to see the house. Maybe I can document it, throw it on YouTube or something. But yeah, that was wild, completely wild. So that's one story I had. Another story, I had a friend told me that she was doing some home health care. Now, she called me and was like, hey, is this board? It's a coffee table, but it's a Ouija board coffee table, and it's made out of wood and these weird vine like legs and everything that's attached. She said, I want to touch it. I said, I wouldn't touch it. That's a bad idea. I just want to touch it. Hey, you know what? Hey, you do what you want to do. Hey, I told you my opinion. You know, again, we adults. You make the choice. The choice is yours, Captain Planet. You know, so you do what you want to do. So, of course, she touched it. Before the year was out, she was not herself no more. And things changed very quickly. And, you know, in the process, there was a lot of dark entities and dark energy around. You know, we got rid of a lot of those things that was around through a lot of different work. You know, if you know anything about different ways to go about chakra healing, you know, go about Reiki healing, you can aid yourself in those situations. You know, it's tough, but it can be done. So those are my little two quick stories about this Ouija board. So let's move forward. Now let's get into this occult museum of Lorraine and Ed Warren. These two was phenomenal folks. But before we get too deep, I just want to say, hey, let's give Patrick Wilson his flowers. Let's give Patrick Wilson his flowers. We got to give him his flowers. You know why? My man Patrick Wilson. This man was in two big horror franchises with Insidious and The Conjuring. You know, and when you first seen the Insidious movie came out first, if I'm correct, like 2 years before. You watch it and you're like, man, because for me, I was like, this guy looked like the guy from like Mr. Cartwright from one of those Tyler Perry movies. I'm like, nah, this ain't him. It's Patrick Wilson. And then 2 years later, The Conjuring, along with, you know, all the movies that came along with it. Now, I will say, I'll be honest, y'all, I haven't seen The Devil Made Me Do It. I haven't seen that one. But I've seen the rest of them, all the Annabelle's, the three Annabelle movies, you know, and everything with The Conjuring, except that one movie. So I'm probably going to watch that today because I feel weird talking about this part about that museum and didn't watch the last movie, man. That don't even make sense. But anyway, yeah, we got to give him his flowers, man. Clap one more time. We got to give Patrick Wilson his flowers. All right, so my man Patrick Wilson is a Scream King. A Scream King. Man, you don't hear that stuff. You hear Scream Queens when you think of what's the girl that played Nancy on Nightmare on Elm Street. What's her name? Heather? I think her name is Heather. Heather Langenball or London something. Look, Heather was the truth. You know, she played the heck out of Nancy for years. You know, Scream Queen, Jamie Lee Curtis, Neve Campbell, Scream Queen, Allie Lauder, and let's get a little more recent. Scream Queen, you know. Tanisha Howard, you know, actually on the series was the Scream Queen for the little series that they had. So Shawnee Smith, Saw series, you know, these are Scream Queens. So you gotta give these people their flowers, man. But going back to the Scream King, look, my man Patrick Wilson, along with Evan Peters, you guys know that man name, American Horror Story, phenomenal actor. These two guys always come to mind for me when I think of the Scream Kings. And this is, you know, it's relatively new name for it. But just had to give Patrick Wilson his flowers before we get into this Warren and the occult museum. So first off, let's get a little background about Ed and Lorraine. So they was the Ghostbusters of the supernatural. You know, they founded the New England Center for Psychic Research in Connecticut in 1952. Now, this occult museum that they created was going on to become one of the biggest museums of its kind, housing the largest collection of haunted or demonic artifacts. So, the pair has investigated way over at least 10,000 hauntings from my knowledge, from what I was looking at, doing research, collecting items and locking them away in their basement. You know, in the house, actually, if you didn't know, it was the real life inspiration of Annabelle. Now, I don't know if you guys had a Raggedy Ann doll or even watched the Raggedy Ann and Andy cartoon. You know, I was a big fan. I was a big fan of cartoons as a kid, you know. But I was like, man, I watched that. You guys didn't hear probably my episode one or episode two, the very beginning of this podcast. I talk about my buddy situation, comparing it to Chucky doll, you know, the good guy. So when you see this, it's like, man, that stuff can be haunted. You know, I buried my buddy. I had to. That sounded funny, huh? I buried my buddy, but I had to bury him, man. I had no choice. You know, I can't live with my buddy. Anyway, the doll from The Conjuring and on the origin story, Creation. So the Warrens Real Research Center was their base of operations. Now, Lorraine was a transmedium, and then Ed, he was the demonologist. And then, of course, they inspired the whole Conjuring franchise, the whole Conjuring universe. Now, some of the items that they had a shadow doll and a satanic doll. Of course, Annabelle, you know, that you couldn't touch or knock on the glass or anything at all, just because of how bad the Annabelle doll was. You got human skull that was used for black magic that was there, assortment of dark magic dolls. They had a beheaded T-Rex toy, kind of like in Toy Story, you know, when See It was out there torturing Rex, you know, giving him that work. But also you have the White Lady of Union Cemetery. Now, with this White Lady of Union Cemetery is a whole story with this wedding dress and how this lady was on the side of the road, and she ended up, she didn't get hit, but it was like the guy was driving and she floated through his car. Man, you gotta go ahead and read the story, man. It's deep, man, but the wedding dress is there, one of the artifacts that's in the occult museum, the Warrens Museum. You know, you got a couple different African fertility dolls. You know, you got a Witch of Monroe mask, a variety of other masks. They got the haunted pearl necklace that if you put on the necklace, you feel like you're getting choked. You know, they got the skull with horns that was haunted. They got the haunted glass eyeballs, which they got from a person that couldn't see, but put the eyeballs in and could see perfect because he was possessed. Deep stuff, man. They got a mourning bracelet that was in there. Of course, the Conjuring mirror that you kind of see in the movie. And then an old organ that plays when it feels like it want to be played. So it's definitely a place I want to visit. Now, if you don't know the location, I tell you the location of the old one. It's still there. You know, it's zoned off. You can't visit. Police frequent that dead end over there. But the address is 30 Norwood Street. And that is Monroe, Connecticut. And that is in the United States. So I'll say one more time. So 30 Norwood Street. K-N-O-L-L-W-O-O-D Street. And that's Monroe, Connecticut. And that is in the United States of America. Again, so you're aware that place is closed and is waiting a new location so it can reopen. Now, it's ran, or should I say was ran, by Tony Sparrow. He was the son-in-law of Ed and Lorraine. Now, if you know, again, Ed passed away in 2006, and then Lorraine passed away a couple years ago in 2019. But hey, for me, hopefully they find a location. It's definitely a place that I feel like I have to visit by all means, by any means. I have to get out there to Connecticut, check that place out. So let's take a break. Take a quick break and we get right back and go into our last topic, our cemetery feature item of the day, which is the owl. So let's take this break. Tell you what, this episode, I like the flow, I like the feel. This is a nice, smooth number fifth episode here. We're going to talk about our cemetery feature item for today, and that is the owl. And as we talk about this last topic, I say, yeah, I appreciate you for tuning in. You know, that break right there, the beat was fire. You know, we was feeling it right there. But I appreciate you, man. You know, we did a couple of great things before we talk about this owl thing. You know, we are making waves. We're doing great things on the podcast since we've been a little more consistent, right? A little more active, right? Doing some great things. So let's get into our cemetery feature item of today, and that is the owl. Now, the owl is honored as the keeper of spirits had passed from one plane to another, winging this newly freed soul from the physical world into the realm of spirit. In ancient Egypt, Celtic, and the Hindu cultures, the symbolic meaning of the owl revolved around guardianship and the protection of the dead. In this light, the owl was the ruler of the night and the seer of souls. Native Americans associate the meaning of the owl with wisdom and foresight and the keeper of sacred knowledge. This may largely be due to the fact that the owl is a great foreteller of weather conditions. Also, its ability to see at night is legend among the Native Americans, and this attribute would be invoked during ceremonies when secret knowledge was required. That was real smooth. Real smooth. That is our cemetery feature item, and that is the owl. You may see a lot of different owls again when you look into different cemeteries on top of headstones or made out of some kind of stone as a statue. So I want to close out this episode today and talk about some of the things that we're doing on social media. So we do have a Twitter page. You can find us on Cemetery Tales podcast, or you can just put in Cemetery Tales. You may see our Twitter page. We also have a Reddit. There's no information there yet, but we do have a Reddit. Again, you can follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube. Now, we haven't put too many YouTube videos up. Now that I thought about it, I think it's just one. There's one YouTube video at the moment that's about Sage. And TikTok, we just put a new video up on TikTok about the catacombs. And we have another one coming. I think it should be today. I think I have it finished today. So that again, September 10th. So I should have it finished, put that up there. But man, follow us on social media. Again, we on Facebook, we on Instagram, we on YouTube, we on any podcast on channel that you listen to. If it's iHeart, if it's iTunes, if it's Spotify, if it's Podcast or Overcast, you know, Google Podcast, Google Play. We're making moves, man. We actually growing, we getting better. We need to start coming out ways to support. Now we do have a sponsorship that we have, and if you want to help support the page, you can easily do that by going to Spotify. You can aid in the development of this show, and we also have a Cash App if you want to donate that way as well. And that's Cash App tag is 357 FIDES was the hashtag for the Cash App. So, I say I appreciate you all. We're doing great things, man. Our next episode will be episode 6. So, we're going to go a little deeper, a little darker. I do have a lot of people on Twitter that's in paranormal groups and activities. That sounded funny, right? Groups and activities. But a lot of different groups and organizations. And one thing for sure, our next episode will be about spirits and ghosts to some degree. Personally, I will probably share another ghost story since I told you guys about the one at Kyler Wonder Art Center. The one in that basement with, from what I found out later on, was a lady that was in that, right next to that break room right there in that basement at Kyler Wonder Art Center. So, I'll tell another ghost story, and then I'm not sure, I have to go back through episodes, but I don't think I ever talked about, when I was digging a grave and a hand grabbed a bucket. Pretty sure I didn't. If I did, I hate that I'm about to repeat this story, but I have to tell this story, and I'll just tell the story now. One day, I was digging a grave. When I was digging the grave, my ground man was assisting me. You know, the ground man helps with the grave. So, as I'm digging the grave, you know, we always make sure that we make sure the sides don't collapse, especially when we do indigent burials, you know. So, when we're doing those type of burials, one day I was digging and, you know, I'm dumping the dirt from the backhoe to the truck, in the back of the truck, regular, nothing different, like I always do. So on one of those pulls, I was like, man, I got clothes in the bucket. Like, is it clothes? I said, hey, you see anything down there? He said, no, everything's fine. I'm like, you sure? He's like, yeah. I'm like, all right, because I just seen some clothes. I just dumping clothes in the back. So the next time I go in the hole, it's like it was a lady that we buried like 2 days before. And when we bury indigent burials, they're in like cardboard kind of caskets, you know. So somehow with the weight of the earth, with burying and digging it literally right next to her in the next grave over, somehow her hand perfectly placed onto the bucket and was grabbing the bucket. And as I was coming out the ground, her arm and everything was coming right on out the ground with her. So her hand and everything is hanging right onto the bucket. And my guy's like, hey, man, hey, stop. I'm like, what's up, man? He said, hey, somebody's holding on to the bucket from the ground. I'm like, what? He said, hey, I can't do this. He hopped in the truck, drove off. I was like, oh, so no problem, man. It's not a problem. I got it. I can handle it. This actually made me think of another story I'll probably tell next episode. So as I shake the backhoe bucket to get the lady to release her grip, I have to go into the grave. Now, one thing, if you didn't know, we really don't dig these graves 6 feet deep. They're probably about 5.5 feet deep, to be honest. You know, so I move the bucket out the way and jump into the grave. And it's not that hard to get out of graves, believe me. You know, if you just go ahead and do the Jackie Chan thing on the sides, you can get it right on out of there, even if you're out of shape. I didn't see huge folks. You know, I'm not the smallest guy myself. You know, I'm 6'1", about 340. You know, big guy myself. But no problem jumping in out those graves. Anyway, so I jump in the grave. Bow. I'm in the grave. So I grab the lady. Half of herself is out the grave. So I got to politely, you know, slide her on back into her grave space. And keep pushing and pushing until she's like slide back into her coffin. Perfect. I'm like, okay, cool. So then we put some dirt down, make sure that we kind of shore up that side a little bit. You know, we use wood and everything, and then built up her wall so that she won't fall out as we continue digging the grave. And I was like, man, he left me on my own, man. I was like, hey. So I got to use a shovel. I got to make sure I'm making sure our side's straight. I got to make sure that the down part, so when you put down the casket, I'm sorry, you put down the vault first. You know, in this case, we didn't use vaults in this particular section. It's indigent burial, you know, Potter's Field, if you ever heard that expression. So you got to make like little humps in the ground. And when you make those humps, you got to like shimmy the straps off to get the straps off of the casket so that you can, you know, bring back up the straps for the lowering device and everything. So, you know, after I got everything together, set it up, you come back like, man, whew, I don't know how you do it, man. I'm like, well, I mean, I've been out here a while now. You know, you definitely, as you keep working in these places, in the cemetery, you look at death a lot differently. But it wasn't bad, man. Nothing was weird. It was just a normal part of the job, man. When you actually care and do what you need to do, it's not bad, man. It's really not. You know, but it was interesting seeing half this lady on out the grave, and she's like, man, probably wasn't my time to go, you know. So she had to go ahead and get that one last, let me get up out of here, zombie side of the game. But hey, I appreciate it, you know. So that's all for this episode. I just want to tell that quick story because it is always interesting when I look back on the experiences I had working in the cemetery business, for digging graves and everything, with funerals for, you know, 10 years. So a little over 10 years, about 10 years and about, I don't know, 4 months or something like that. But hey, again, appreciate you. That's all for this episode of Cemetery Tales Podcast. And I'll catch you on the next one. We will be back next week. Next week, Friday, that is September 17th, with a brand new episode. Episode 6. All right. Peace.